to introduce to you Bishop Owino. Would you please come forward?
Thank you. So
she wants a picture of us if we can turn her off.
Yeah. Read it.
It's an honor to have him here. We've labored with him, and this man works so hard. He is on the go all the time. And supernatural strength from the Holy Spirit, I am sure, to keep going. So we love you.
Love you too.
And welcome to River of Life.
Thank you.
And enjoy your ministry.
Praise the Lord. Well, River of Life is my home church away from home. I just want to, first of all, appreciate Dr. Janet and Apostle Leonard for being my friends. I believed God for many years to have them come to Kenya, many years. So when they came this time round, this year, God did great work. Hundreds of people gave their lives to Christ. And I remember the Sunday, the last Sunday that we were in the village, the people who received the Lord, we went to the river to baptize 62. They wanted them to go with me, but it was so early, 6 a.m. in the morning, to the river. And I told them, no, my guests cannot get to the river this early. It was so cold. And we baptized 62 people who gave their lives to Jesus. And we have had many conferences in Kenya over the years under Gospel Harvest Ministries. But we have never, ever experienced supernatural power of God like this time round. Because first of all, salvation, the way people gave their life to Jesus, oh my God. And then the healing and deliverance. And I told them that when I come here and say this, I say, Dr. Janet, the power of God is moving through you so mightily. Look like when you are in America, you are so cool. You don't release this fire. You don't release this power out. And when I come back to the River of Life, I'll turn you in. I'll say, you better be releasing this power even right here. Sure, for real. There are remarkable miracles that God did in Africa that they would like them to come yesterday again, if not tomorrow. And I really, really appreciated. You know, sometimes you don't give up so fast. If I gave up of not following them up to come to Africa, what God did to Africa this year would not have been done. And I also want to thank God for their yielding to the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, Apostle Leonard and Dr. Janet, for accepting my invitation. And you know how you jeopardized the kingdom of hell. How the Lord used you to release the bound and set the captive free. And to heal the sick and to deliver the bound. My goodness, miracles were just like a lifestyle in Kenya. And though they have not said yes again, I'm still pushing it. I'm pushing it. Yeah, life in Africa is different from here. I know it was not as easy for them. They tolerated our mud situation. When it rains, it's really muddy. Oh, my goodness. But with all that, they reached out every day of the meeting to be able to do the work of the Lord. Thank you so very much, Dr. Janet, and thank you, Apostle Leonard, for just saying yes to my request to come to Africa and to do what you did. I pray that this relationship stays. It stays. Amen. Yes, I just came this time to the state very shortly because there's so much work over there, just as Dr. Janet has said, so much work. We work every day. We have 5 days of working in the church. We have children, 140, that we take care of every day for 5 days. We have the work of the ministry. When I was here last year, I joined the Revive Indiana evangelistic ministry here, and I came here. When I did it that day, I grasped something. I took something within me with me to Africa. And so when I went back to Kenya, I introduced Revive Kenya. And we do evangelism every week. We go out 3 times. And so the church is growing and we are doing the discipleship. We are reviving the communities. I got it from here. You guys gave me one book, one Bible. And every color has a message of sinners. We have exhausted that book up. We have made good use of it. You wouldn't like it if you see it today, because it has been used well. It has been thoroughly used every day. So people read it in tons, and then we go out to win souls. So our relationship has brought much fruits in the kingdom in Africa. Much fruits in Africa. And so I really thank God for that. So we are going to get into the Word of God today. I've been in serious prayer and fasting and waiting on God for this day. And I have a message for the church today. Yeah, God's prophetic agenda for the church today. God's prophetic agenda for the church today in these last days. And the Lord, when the Lord was giving me this prophetic agenda for the church of the last days, and how the Lord is raising the church to a higher level or higher dimension. You know, we are living in the last days. And you know, there is, if you are a Bible reader, you will understand that God spoke about the days we are living in, even way back before Christ was born. We see the prophets prophesying about the birth of the Savior of the world. And we also see things that was to take place in our days. And so Jesus, when he came also, he talked about the last days and talked about nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom and the, you know, famine in the world. All these things are taking place. And you know, many people are concentrating in this one, this negative prophetic declaration so much than the positive declaration. There is a prophetic declaration concerning the world. The world. And there is also prophetic declaration concerning the church. So the church have its portion and the world have its portion, and they are different. So this morning, the word of God going to bring you to attention, bring you to a place where you're going to know your place in the last days as a member of the body of Christ. So I want you to open with me, please, if you can, the book of Isaiah chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 2. And when we are reading that also, we're going to go into the book of Micah, also chapter 4, Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah, the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established on the top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall come forth the laws and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be the name of Jesus. And now again, I'm reading the book of Micah chapter 4 from verse 1. But in the latter days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established on the top of other mountains, and it shall be exalted above all hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For the laws of shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We thank God for his word of this morning. This prophetic declaration shows us where the church is supposed to be. Remember, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, when you don't get the knowledge, you cannot reach where you are going. When you don't get the information, you cannot know what belongs to you. Because information brings you into revelation. Information brings you into revelation. When you get into revelation, then you know what it takes to take you where you are supposed to be. The Bible tells us that the church, the body of Jesus Christ, God is taking the church where we are going to, we are going to humble the pride of the world. To humble the pride of the world in all ways. But this is the prophetic agenda of the body of Christ today. Both physically, socially, financially, economically, the Bible talks about the church in the last days. Anytime you hear the word Zion, you talk about the church. Zion is the church. Zion is the church. And when you talk about the mountain of the house of the Lord, you also talk about the church. So there is prophetic agenda for the body of Jesus Christ to be able to come into the realization of what the Holy Spirit is releasing. What the Holy Spirit is releasing to the body of Christ today, so that we can be able to know what it takes to go where we are supposed to be. What it takes to go where we are supposed to be. Because when God releases a prophecy, it takes them that understand the prophecy. It takes them that understand the vision, so that you can be able to take a step towards it. You know, when you pray to receive from God. When we pray to hear from the Lord. When the Lord has spoken to us, then we know what to do next concerning what he wants. The body of Jesus Christ here on earth. You know, sometimes you hear Christians are crying with the world. They cry with the people of the world. They are in a dilemma with the world. You know, but we are not supposed to say, to be so, because we are the answer to the world. The Bible says that we are the salt of the world. We are the salt of the world. We are the light of the world. You know that? You and me are the light. We are the answer to the world in everything. In everything. What we need is the revelation of how to go there. Is the revelation of how to reach there. Because the Bible says that the feet of the righteous, the feet of the righteous are led by the Lord. So for us, for you and I, to be able to walk in the supernatural. You know, many Christians, when they hear about supernatural, that's a strange thing to them. But once you are born again, supernatural is your lifestyle. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus. in the book of John chapter 3, when Nicodemus went to Jesus at night to ask him how he can be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And so Jesus started talking to Nicodemus about anything that is born of the flesh is flesh. And anything that is born of the spirit is what? Is the spirit. Anything, anybody that is born again, you are a partaker of the nature of God. And so when you become a spirit, supernatural is not a strange thing to you. But you see, you cannot receive it if you don't believe it. You can't receive it if you don't believe it. Because when you are born again, you turn from the natural to the supernatural. You know, this mathematics is very easy for everybody to understand. That everything gives birth to its kind. Look at the animals. Birds gives birth to birds. Dogs give birth to what? Dogs. Cows gives birth to cows. When it comes to God, people think that God does not give birth to its kind. God also gives birth to its kind. Look at what the Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 82. Psalms chapter 82 from verse 6. The Bible talks about you and I who are born again in the kingdom, so that we can be able to operate as the children of God in the land of the living. The Bible says, I say unto you, you are all gods, in small letter. You are all gods. So to be able to handle the issues of life here on earth, in a way that everything you experience the supernatural, you must first of all know your identity. Amen? You must know who you are. The way we handle things, sicknesses, diseases, and all those kind of the problems of life, our economical situation, we are not supposed to cry as the world cries. Because God is raising the church where the church can humble the pride of the world. Where the church is gonna humble the pride of the world. Where the world cannot boast against the church. Because the world does not know God. There is prophetic agenda for the world. And there is prophetic agenda for the church. For the body of Jesus Christ in these last days. In fact, to me, I know that we are living in the best time of the days. We are living in the best time of the days. Because I believe that the word of God works. The word of God works. Because when I'm sick and I call upon the name of the Lord, He heals me. When I'm in need, I call upon the name of the Lord, He provides for me. I remember when God saved me, when I was so young, at the age of 19, living in a mud house and living in a very, very, very terrible condition of Africa. I started studying the Word of God to find out what God had for me in life. Because I did not have anybody else to depend on but God. I did not have parents to depend on but God. And so I read the scripture. You know, for you to be able to reach where I am talking about, you must be a friend of the Bible. You must be a friend of the Bible. And everything that is written here, you must take it as real. Every scripture is real. The word that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. They heal. This word heals. This word delivers. This word performs miracles that even doctors cannot perform. And so I believed God for the changes of life. And I said, Lord, you must take me into this mud, little, touched ghetto room to a place where the world can know that you really called me. And I've seen God every time I ask Him something and I don't doubt what I say. I push on until I see the outcome. Now listen to this child of God. Every time you get the truth, When you get the truth and you want to go to another level, the devil will oppose you. That one is a must. Because faith is a warfare. Anytime you are engaged in the life of faith, you are ready to fight. And the Bible says we are fighting a good fight of faith. You are ready to fight, but remember, we are fighting a good fight of faith because victory is on our side. It does not matter how long it takes. We must be winners at the end of the day. What you need to do, you don't need to give up. You don't need to give up. You don't need to get discouraged because the Bible says, I am with you always. In any war that you are fighting, whether it be finances, whether it be family life, any war that you are fighting, you are more than a conqueror. Amen. You are more than a conqueror. Amen. You can be seated, you may be seated here today, and the doctor has given you a verdict of death. The word of God reverses that. The word of God can reverse that verdict of death. The word of God can reverse that. The doctors will tell you you only have 2 months to live, but when you believe, you hang into the word of God. What makes people fail is fear. What makes people fail is fear. Remember the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 9. The Bible says, a big and effectual door is opened unto me. But my adversary, the adversary always come against anything you want. When you want healing from the Lord, the devil will increase your pain to cheat you that Jesus is not a healer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you want a miracle of healing, I am teaching you things that I have practically gone through. I have practically gone through these things. I have practically gone through these things. God is raising a church to where we can humble the pride of the world. I repeat, God's declaration agenda for the church in our days to be on top of other situations. To be on top of the... Be on top means be on top. You know what I'm saying? To be on top. To enjoy, to see the victory, to see the benefit of the death of Christ Jesus on the cross at Calvary. When Jesus died, he paid our price. When he rose again, he gave us the victory. He fought our battle and gave us the victory. And listen to this, child of God. Many doors are open before you, but you need to know what the Bible says about your condition. The Bible talks about, you know what? The Bible says, he took our sorrows. You read the book of Isaiah chapter 53 from verse 3 to 6. The Bible says he took our sorrows. He himself took them on his body. He himself took our sicknesses. He himself took our sorrows. The Bible says that he took. But now the problem here is, how do a Christian get these things in your spirit? The problem is, how do you get them into your spirit and make them real? Because you have a spirit and you have mind. And many times your mind will try to grasp it so fast before your spirit takes it. You cannot keep it in your mind and receive a miracle. You can't keep the word of God in your mind and receive a miracle. You must release the word of God in your spirit. Because God is not mind. You all know that. God is spirit. God is not mind. God is spirit. God is not mind. God is spirit. And many times I do normally get problem with my own mind. When my spirit says this, my mind will tell me that. And in most cases, my mind does not agree with my spirit. And my mind will always show me the way to fail. My mind will always show me, magnify my problem, how big they are. My mind will show me this pain cannot go. My mind will tell me this financial issue cannot be solved. That is my mind. But when I come again to the word of God, the word of God tells me that's something different. When I listen to the Holy Spirit of God, because I tell you what, children of God, God speaks. God speaks. God has a voice and he speaks. So when you keep the word of God in your mind and you don't release it in your spirit, you don't get the supernatural manifestation. You need to release the word of God from your mind to your spirit and agree with the word of God. It does not matter how you feel, because faith does not come with feeling. You know what? We are born again, aren't we? But we don't feel born again. We believe that we are born again. I don't have to feel that I'm born again. I know I'm born again. Even when I was born here in flesh, I don't feel I was born. I know I was born because I'm existing. Right. Amen? You don't just feel every time, say, oh man, I know I was born. I feel I was born. You don't feel you are born. You know you are born. And you know you are existing. And being born again, faith is not coming with feelings. For you as a member of the body of Christ, to be able to enjoy the benefits of the word that I'm speaking to you today, you must believe that God is speaking to you direct. And you must know that God loves you as an individual. And he loves you so much that even if you are the only person that was existing on earth, God would still have brought Jesus to die for you. That's how big he loves you. If you are the only human being, one person on earth, why? Because he created you and me in his image, after his likeness. And if you are the only one person on earth, he would have still brought Jesus to redeem his image. He would have still brought Jesus to redeem his image from the thumbs of the enemy. He would have still brought Jesus here to die. So, what you have to do to be able to reach over here, you need to know what it takes. What it takes so that you can be able to walk in the supernatural in these last days. You know, we are living the days whereby there are a lot of strange sicknesses are coming up. Some doctors can treat and some they cannot treat. The Bible says that Jesus took 39 strokes, 39. And medically, they say that there are only 39 sicknesses on earth. So they may give them different names, but there are 39. And so Jesus covered every sickness in your body. He covered every sickness before he went to the tree. He covered every disease. Now, here the thing is, when you have developed a living faith that receives and takes you where God has put the church, you will face the war in between here. You will face war in your mind. Your mind will refuse to accept, because your mind will tell you, you know how your body feels. Your mind will tell you, you know how you feel. But I tell my mind all the time, I don't want to know how my body feels. I want to know how the word of God says about my body. I want to know how the word of God says. I was diagnosed with a high blood pressure, very bad high blood pressure, very, very bad high blood pressure and ulcers. It was so bad that every time I was feeling dizzy that I could die. And so the doctor gave me prescriptions. And for 3 years, I was in the thumb of the enemy. I was suffering for 3 years. Sometimes I did not have money to buy the drugs. And the doctor told me that all the days of my life here on earth, I will not take coffee. I just took coffee a few minutes ago. Very delicious coffee. Oh, very nice coffee. And they tell you, we have a pot. We brew. He brews. I brew. Lorna doesn't. I do. So, before they came, she asked me, the doctor, Janet asked me, do you have coffee in Kenya? I said, yes. We even have a machine. Amen. So I brew coffee and I love coffee. But the doctor, for 3 years, I never touched coffee. I was suffering. The doctor told me no coffee, no tea. And No fruits, no mango, no orange, no banana, no pineapple, the way I love pineapple. Oh man, you talk about it. Let's say the grace and rush over there. And I tell you, the ulcers in me, there was wounds in my intestine that could only be cooled down but not be healed. So you know there is this painkiller. Painkiller doesn't heal you. Painkiller just play around with your mind. Yeah, they just disconnect your mind from feeling, because the brain is what registers, you know, the pain. So I lived in painkillers for 3 years. And a time came when I was tired of this. I said, am I still saved? Am I still born again? Am I still the same Lawrence who has been preaching miracles all the time? What is happening now? Where is my faith? I started challenging my own faith. You know, if you want to rise to a new level, you must be in a position when you can challenge your own faith. It is not harmful to challenge your own faith, because it is for your benefit. You know that? I said, I want to know where my faith is, because I don't think that God is a respecter of persons. I don't think that God wants to heal this group and he don't want to heal that group. I do not want to think that God wants to provide for this group and don't want to provide for the other. I think the love of God is equal. And I think that everybody before the Lord is number one, no number two in the kingdom. Each one of us, we are number one in the kingdom. And then I came to realize that the problem is not with God. The problem was with me. Instead of receiving the faith, I received the fear because of the report. When I got the report from the doctor, that report gave me fear. And so I was hanging on those pills for my survival to live. But when I turned to the Word of God, because the Word of God performs miracles today, the Word of God is still living today. And somebody here tonight, this morning, will receive a miracle. Somebody in this church this morning, you will receive your miracle that you've been waiting for so long. Somebody here will receive a miracle, I'm saying. Because the word that I'm speaking unto you right now, they are spirit and they are life. The Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. There is nothing that was created without the Word. And let me surprise you. Leave alone the beginning. This morning is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and tonight, this morning, is the Word. And the Word is still God this morning. And the Word still creates. The Word still creates right now. God is taking a church to another level. God is taking the church to another level. Not only health-wisely, even economically. Even economically. If you will tell me something different from that, I will not accept it. Mm-mm. You know, the world is crying. The world is crying. The world is in lamentation. The world is crying. The world economy is crumbling, but not God's economy. Let me repeat this, and I repeat it with a lot of courage. The world economy is crumbling down, but God's economy is rising up. God's economy is rising up. And I say this with a lot of confidence, that the economy of the church is rising up. That the world will run to church and say, let's go to church for an answer. The world gonna be running into this church. And since we connected to this church, River of Life, we intercede for you people day and night. That you will start seeing things that you have never seen before. You start experiencing things that you have never experienced before. Because it cannot be that when these servants of God get out there, big miracles happened, and here you don't see them. No. God wants you to receive them even here. What you don't need to do, you don't need to be familiar. You know what familiar means? Familiarity means? You know, Jesus did not do many miracles in his hometown because people knew him. That's right. They say, we know him. This one here, the son of Joseph, we know his brother here, is Joseph. Another brother here is called James. We saw his sisters are here. This man has been working on our timber. He's been making our tables all the time here. We know them. They were familiar with miracles. Anytime you become familiar with God, you don't receive a miracle. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning, children of God? Anytime you become familiar, you miss your miracle. When you become familiar, you become used. And that's one day I was asking God, because we do a lot of open air meetings a lot and we see people getting healed and big miracles. The miracles we see on the street are not as many as the miracles we see in the church. And that bothered me. And I said, but God, listen to this, God. These are your children. They deserve more miracles than the people in the street. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, the way you treat an infant child is different from the way you treat a grown-up child. A grown-up child, you know, if you have a 2 weeks baby and you also have a 15 years boy or girl, you won't treat them the same. Because at 15 or 17 years, you expect them to be responsible. So people in the church are responsible to take their miracles. You are responsible to listen and receive. You are responsible to listen and say, hey, this is my portion and this is my day. The people out there in the street or young believers, they still don't know anything. They use our faith as preachers. But you who has been in the church for so long, don't think that your condition is acceptable before God. You want to be there. Then you may say, no, I don't want to be here. Now, this is what you want to do. There is power in your confession. When the condition is so bad, you may end up keep on confessing it as yours. Don't own anything in you which is not of God. Don't let your word betray you. Because the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Some people are in conditions that have been put there by their own words. Not God. Not God. There is no fear in God. There is no fear in faith. Even if you read the book of 1 John chapter 4 verse 18. The Bible said there is no fear in love. For perfect love casts out fear. So for you to be able to rise to that dimension, child of God, you need to get your mind renewed. I told God, renew my mind as it is written in the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Having a renewed mind will make you think properly. Because every time you meditate on big problems, you speak them out. But then you end up sometimes calling them yours. I've heard Christians talking about my sugar level, my sugar, my cancer, my blood pressure. Those things are not yours. Those things are not yours. Terminate them from your mouth. Terminate them. Let me teach you how to create a miracle with your own mouth. Start speaking things that you need, but you don't have them yet. You will sound like crazy, but speak them. People will ask you, brother, how are you feeling? Say, tell them, I'm healed. I am healed of the Lord. I'm walking. I'm healed. I am walking, I'm healed. I'm walking, I'm healed. I am healed. I am living long and I'm living strong. And somebody asked me, Brother Lawrence, how are you doing? I tell them, I'm healthy and wealthy. I live long and live strong. I'm blessed, I'm highly favored. I'm designed to prosper and that is my nature. You see, faith calls things that are not. After knowing who you are as the member of the body of Christ, you start speaking them out. I am teaching you your lifestyle. Because I'm leaving that. Now, what did I do with those cancer, with those high blood pressure and those ulcers? I denounced them. Did they leave the same day? No. Did I speak right away and they left right away? No. I spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke every day. I said, I'm healed. I don't have high blood pressure. I am healed. I don't have ulcers. I'm healed. I don't have ulcer. I don't have high blood pressure. And they disappeared. Woo! They are all gone. During those days when I could test my blood, it was going to 170 by 110. That is crazy. You know that? Nowadays, when I test my blood, it's 116 by 62 or 120 by 72. Woo! What a lovely... I'm telling you, the word works for those who have accepted to work the word. There is benefit of believing these things because God has put us into a place whereby what the world cannot do, we are doing. Amen? What about the economy of the church? When you need a miracle of healing, you speak it and believe it. Okay? You speak it and believe it. When you need financial miracle, you don't pray. No. Can I teach you? We don't pray, God give me money. You cannot pray your way out of poverty. You can't pray your way out of lack. So the first thing you do, terminate the word, I am broke from your mouth. You see, these things work if you want to get them. That's why we come to church for changes. We don't come to church to be good religious and be good church members. We come to church for changes. We come to church to live a life that can be admired by the world. We come to church that after a few years, people look at you and say, what happened with you? Say, I was born again. I went to church. So you terminate the word, I am broke. That should not be cut out of your mouth. The devil is broke, not you. Those are the words that you need to speak. I am broke is not the language of believers. You know, some of you are looking at me not with the good eyes now. I've been saying this all the time. That's why I came to help you. Amen. That's why I came to help you, that you join the community, those who are on the mountain of other mountains. The church is raising up. Now, how do you get out of it? When I was in deep poverty, I was praying, I was fasting. I went for fasting for 21 days with pure water. And I told God, God, if you don't take me out of this, kill me. Do you think after 21 days, God gave me wealth? No. Do you think out of 21 days God took me out of that madhouse? No. He just spoke. He said, son, you must be a covenant practitioner. I said, what is that? Covenant practitioner? And then God reminded me the book of John chapter 8 verse 32. When Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd have done what Abraham did. Because material blessings are Abrahamic blessings. These are Abrahamic blessings. The church needs to be educated so that you know where we belong. Amen? Now, who was this Abraham, our father? Abraham was a tither. Okay? Abraham was a tither. And let me tell you this, child of God. If you are sick in your body, and the doctor gives you prescription, you don't advise the doctor what you need. You can't tell the doctor, I don't need injection, just give me a pill. You can't tell the doctor, no, this pill is so bitter, give me something a little sweeter. You take what the doctor gives you. That is what's going to heal you. So for the child to get out of poverty, the Lord told me, I must be a tither. And I was like, God, I tithe from what? I don't have it. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me again. I don't have it is a mentality. God did not create anybody who don't have it. It is from here. It is a mentality, because everybody have a beginning somewhere. And I realized that I had a beginning somewhere. Let me tell you what I did to get me out of the ghetto of that mud houses and, you know, the floor mud and the wall is mud and no running waters. And you go to a latrine, not a toilet, latrine, a pit in Nairobi. I decided to stick to the word of God. By any time I heard my pastor talking about the need of the church, I went and borrowed out to bring to church. I went and said, Lord, I want to get out of this. And I went and said, hey, can you borrow me like maybe a 1,000 shillings and pay you later? And then I come with this money and give it in the kingdom. And then I will believe God to pay that one back. That is how I fought the poverty from me. After continuing doing that, God moved me to a small room that has light. I was living in a mad house, a room. Then God moved me to a room with light. But the toilet is still out. But with my persistence of what I had, you know, when you hear something in Revelation, you cannot doubt it. If you hear God, you know that you have heard God. And so that's why Christians need to be spiritual. You need to be spiritual, that when you come to church like now, you come expecting to hear from Him and do what He's saying. I knew God has spoken to me. And since that time to date, to the very moment that I stand before you, I don't play around with my tithe. I don't. That is a done deal, because God spoke to me about it. And God said, if you want to sustain your economy, don't play with your tithing. Because tithing is not mine, it's the Lord's. Anytime I tithe, I will not say I've given my tithe. I've paid God that which belonged to Him. Everything. If I get 1,000, I know 100 is not mine. If I get 100,000, I know 10,000, it is not mine. I can't touch it. I can't. When God gave me 1,000,000 shillings, I know for sure 100,000 I cannot touch. That is my lifestyle. That is before I give my offering. But you see, offering should be above tithing, biblically. Biblically, offering is above tithing. If you want your economy to be changed so that you are able to move in that supernatural, you must accept the word of God without offense. You must get it without being offended. You remember what Jesus said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended of me. But many times when God wants to raise the church, the body of Jesus, from the thumb of the enemy, people quickly get offended. And they take an offense. And they say, you bring to us the preacher who is really touching the area that we don't get, want to get it touched. We want the whole church to be blessed. Everybody. And you see what? You fight your way out. You fight your way out. Now, I used to endure tithing. Today, I enjoy tithing. I enjoy tithing. And enjoy giving in the body of Christ. Because I came to realize that I cannot outgive God. So you don't pray you are out of luck. You can't pray yourself out of luck. You cannot pray yourself out of luck. Oh, the time is gone. Hallelujah. You cannot pray yourself out of luck. You can give yourself out of luck. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. So the church is going to another level here. Economically, financially, health-wisely. Take the word of God, run with it. Take the word of God, run with it. Don't confess negative. Don't speak things that describe how bad your situation is. Every day you wake up in the morning, the pain is still there. Tell the devil, Mr. Devil, I was healed. 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 Let us stand on our feet. Let us stand on our feet. And as we stand on our feet, I want you to allow the word of God to move in your heart right now. And I want the word of God to change somebody here. Somebody will receive a miracle here this morning. I feel so strong that God wants to perform a miracle in somebody's life here. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you. I want to bless you for your word this morning. Thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word that is working in the church. Every sickness here, I command you to leave. Every spirit that is not of God, I command you to disappear. Father, we thank you. I arrest every opposing spirit that is opposing the word of God in people's lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, this church is going higher, is a mountain built upon other mountains. I decree and I declare economical situation of this church to be high up. Every church member here to be released. Every sickness destroyed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.